Well, good morning. Good to see you all out. I, this morning, called several people to question, one, what was it like down here at this side of town? And the other, what did you think if we should go ahead and meet or not or whatever? Kind of scared me some on the news a little bit last night as I heard reports about power lines down and debris covering streets and different things. And I thought, wow, if that lasts till morning. Anyhow, we decided to go ahead and give it a try, and I'm glad we did, and I'm glad you're here, and that we can worship God, as Rick said. Coming through something like that when there's so much of the unknown involved, which way is it going to go? How strong is it going to be? What kind of damage is it going to do? Those kind of things. But anyhow, good to have you here. Join with me in a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, as we look at this 11th chapter of Hebrews on faith, Father, reminds me how little I know about the life of faith, and yet how much you want us to know about it. I do pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, our eyes, to see the things that you have for us, to, as it were, behold the beauty of the Lord in the words of Scriptures, and Father, that we might be better able to live by faith as we leave here today. Father, we do thank you for the protection that you provided, and we do pray for those who aren't here for whatever reasons, whether it's dealing with results of the storm or just being up all night or whatever it might be. Pray your blessing on them and on us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to first review our memory verse. The first verse here, Hebrews 10:22, is the beginning of the passage, you might say, that we're going to be looking at today, because it tells us to draw near to God in full assurance of faith. Drawing near to God in full assurance of faith. It talks about our hearts being true hearts. It talks about our conscience being sprinkled clean. It talks about our bodies being washed with pure water. All of that is part of the drawing near process. And as I've been thinking about this, it really does have a lot to do with faith. And we'll be looking at that. But I'd encourage you to work at memorizing this. It is an encouraging verse. I know some of you, every time you read it in ESV, you close your eyes, and if I repeat it, you cover your ears because you don't want it to, I wouldn't say contaminate, but at least confuse the things that you have, or the passage that you haven't memorized in. But anyhow, that's our memory verse. Encourage you, if you don't have someone to review verses with, I'd encourage you to call somebody, or, you know, whether you text or email or whatever, but get together with somebody, and because it really does help to have somebody else to review with and what have you. So I would encourage you to do that. Today we're going to be talking about the whole issue of Jesus being better, and these last several times that we'll be talking, finishing up Hebrews, we're looking at it in the aspect that because Jesus is better, we are to live by faith. And we want to look at three parts of that: the root of faith and the flower of faith. Y'all saw the Easter lilies up here last week. I didn't notice that none of you came up and pulled the plant out of the pot and looked at the roots. That wasn't what attracted you to them, is it? It's the flower that attracts us to things. And so, but we do want to look at the root of faith and see what that is. Then we'll look at the flower of faith and finally at the fruit of faith. Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 is where we want to start, because it is the first mention of faith in the book of Hebrews. And it is only one of three places until you get to 10 where faith is mentioned. And all of that talking about the old, you know, Jesus being better than all of these things from the Old Testament, seldom did he talk about faith. It was all about the things that were done or the people who did them, but never or seldom about faith. But Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." Chapter 3, he talked about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, and they were headed to the promised land, the land of rest, and how it flowed with milk and honey and would meet all their needs and everything. And yet they failed to be able to go in because of unbelief. They looked at the people and they took their eyes off of the promise, and they said, "The people to us seem more dangerous. They seem more real. There's giants in the land." And they failed to go in and find rest. Verse 2, "For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." And here it says that there's a difference between hearing and hearing. We can hear things, but we might not listen to it or take it in and believe that it's true. And so the people failed to go in because of a lack of faith. "For we who have believed enter that rest." And that word "believe" is important. "For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, 'As I swore to in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest,' although his works were finished from the foundation of the world." God did it all at the beginning. And yet, as the people, God's people, came out, they chose to not believe the promises of God. And it was all about the promises of God. And that's important as we get into this. But believing is a part of the root. That is the entry point into the body of Christ. It is believing what Jesus said about himself, what the scriptures tell us about Jesus, what Jesus did and accomplished for us. And as we believe that, we are said to have faith. And then the next passage that it mentions is, or that mentions faith, is in chapter 6, verse 1. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance and of faith toward God." Now wait. Not laying again a foundation. Now, we already talked about this when we were in Hebrews 6. But when we're talking about faith here, it talks about putting behind or not keep going towards this as it says here, the elementary doctrine of Christ. Because we're told that several times the passages about not being sluggish or not drifting away or some of those other passages are moving towards, we were told that the problem is that we never move from where we're at. If we just stay where we are, the tendency always is to go backwards and not forwards. And so faith is the idea of moving forward. And we don't want to stay in the elementary doctrines of Christ, laying again a foundation, which is very crucial. No house stands without a foundation. Jesus warned us to not build our house on sand, but on the rock. Foundations are important. But you can't just rest there. God has other things for us to do. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for this name in serving the saints, as you still do. And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherited the promise." That is talking about Hebrews chapter 11. Those who through faith, or rather than being sluggish, he wants us to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. He wants us to imitate the people that are talked about in Hebrews 11. He wants us to become a flower. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then Hebrews 10:22, again, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith." God wants us to draw near to Him with a heart that is truly in Christ, having full assurance of faith. God wants that for us, to draw near to Him with true hearts, with a faith that moves us forward. Critical. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." When we talk about the root, we're talking about something that God provides for us. We believe, but God gives us new life. Our life in Christ is a result of God giving us faith to believe what He did for us. It's not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Remember the first in John 4, or Hebrews 4, it says, putting aside the repentance of dead works. Those are works that we do in ourselves. If I do works based on my strength and on my abilities and on my belief that I can accomplish things, those are dead works. But if we can move forward, having drawn near to God, God wants us to do the works that He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. He wants us to do things like the people in Hebrews 11 did. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk some more about a little bit more about the root, and then we'll talk about the flowers. That when you think of flowers, think botanical gardens, think the Easter lilies that were up here. Think that when we think about faith. and then we'll talk about the fruit. So let's do it. Thanks, guys and gal. Don't want to forget the gals. Well, unfortunately, I did not get a PowerPoint put together with notes on it for you to follow along, and so I'm just going to read the different things that I have or just talk to you. We're talking about the life of faith, and that God wants us to live in faith. We'll talk a little bit about what that means and how it is. In Hebrews 11:3, it's interesting that the first mention of faith in chapter 11 talks about God creating. And as I thought about that, I think possibly it is because it is the most basic thing that we are called to believe God about. That God created the universe by the Word, by His Word. The very first thing, Hebrews 1 or 11:3 says, by faith, we, he's talking about himself and the people that he was writing to, and because we are eavesdropping, he's talking about us. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Almost seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? Something that can't be, and yet it is precisely because of that, that it is by faith. We're told in the first several chapters of Genesis how God created and the sequence of events coming up to the seventh day when He rested. And we believe it by faith. There's a lot out there that we look at that we can point to and say, it has got to be faith, or it has got to be creation. It can't be anything else. But in reality, we believe it out of faith. The very basic foundation of our faith is a belief that God created. It's one of the reasons why we can go through things like last night and not be scared to death or not be overrun with anxiety. I mean, I think everybody, other than maybe Brian, I was talking to Brian before, maybe, he was saying just how that, at the beginning, going through that, that there wasn't really any fear. And then we got to talking about my granddaughter, Vanessa, last night at the dinner table. We sat down for dinner, Sylvia and the two girls and a dog and a cat came along to weather the storm with us. And we were at the table, and her dad is a police officer, and he was on duty last night, and talking about him a little bit. And then she said, but God knows about the storm, and everything will be okay. And I looked at her and I said, you know what that is? That is faith. What you just said is expressing faith and confidence in something that you don't know or can't see, but because you believe in a God who created all of this and holds it, and where Jesus can tell the storms to be quiet, that is faith. And so our belief in the fact that God created the universe by the word of His power is one of the basic steps to living by faith. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. And He, Jesus, upholds the universe by the word of His power. And after making purifications for sin, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That is a part of our faith. And it's interesting that the author started out this whole book talking about Jesus creating. And the very first thing he mentions when he talks about faith is Jesus, God creating through Jesus by the word of His power. So we have the foundation of faith. If you were to have one of those Easter lilies and you picked up the plant and pulled it out of the pot, you would see the root system there. And it is what supports the stem and the flowers and whatever fruit lilies provide. But normally they sit below the ground or in the pot, and you don't really see the basic or the foundation of our life of faith. We tell people about it. It's called our testimony. We tell people about how we came to trust in Christ and what our faith is built on. But people generally don't see the root system. But they do see the flowers. And that's when when you go to the botanical gardens or admire the Easter lilies, and what you see is the flowers and the beauty of it. And I would like to present the idea that when we look at Hebrews 11 and all the people that are mentioned, you know, we often call or refer to Hebrews 11 as God's Hall of Fame. It is people who lived out their faith, and they are there on display, like the lilies last week, all up front here, for us to look at and admire and behold the beauty of it. And yet, when you read all of Hebrews 11, you find that it's not all about what the people did, but it is about what the people believed and how their belief affected what they did. Oftentimes it will say this person considered, or this person, like Abraham, considered being with his people better than all the things that the courts of Egypt could offer. And yet, the author holds it up and says, here, if you want to know what faith is, look at all these people and imitate it, and you will live by faith. So why does the author spend a whole chapter on faith? Remember, the book of Hebrews is about a people who were losing their faith. they were being drawn back into, they were Jews probably, had come out of the Jewish system of sacrifices and keeping the law and everything else. But for whatever reasons, because of distance or hardship or whatever it was, we're not told, we don't know, but they were being drawn back into that system of legalism, of keeping the law, of trying to earn God's favor by the things that they did. They were moving away from grace back to works. And so the author spends 10.5 chapters going through all these points of the Old Testament, whether it was prophets or the sacrifices or the law or the tabernacle or whatever, pointing out that Jesus was better, trusting in Christ was better by far than all of these regulations that were back there that they were going back to. And then he comes to this and he says in chapter 10, now draw near to God with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And he uses an Old Testament offering kind of illustration, having your heart sprinkled clean. That's an Old Testament thing that the high priest did when he would take the blood and a hyssop branch and sprinkle the people. He wasn't washing and scrubbing everything to clean it. It was cleaned by the blood, and we are to have our hearts cleaned in that way. But draw near to God, and here is how you do it. Let me show you what it is to live by faith. James tells us that faith without works is dead. That faith, no faith, I'm sorry, no works, no faith. If you don't have works, you don't have faith. And he points to all these people that demonstrates their works and says, this is what it is to live by faith. It's not separate from the foundation, but it's built on the foundation. God, we read in Ephesians 2:10 that the works that God has works for us to do, and he put that together before the world began so that we would walk in them. That's part of salvation. In James 2, James says, what is it? What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? Verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You get what it's saying? It's saying that he already said that works in and of themselves are dead. They accomplish nothing. But faith in and of itself is dead also if it's not accompanied by works. So let's move on to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, think botanical gardens. And, you know, I'm not going to have time here, everybody says, to go through all of these. But I just want to read the names. I want to go through and read some of the things, the people that were involved. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death because God had taken him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called. By faith, Sarah, she received power to conceive, even when she was past age, because she considered him faithful who had promised. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each one of the sons of Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king. By faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say, the author says, for time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered. They suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about with skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering around in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. You know, some of those things look really great. You know, somebody did something good and they were commended, and this one did that. You know, Noah built the ark, and, you know, a lot of heroes in those. And then you get to that last section where they were sawn in half and they were burnt, human tortures, and they were lost their homes, and they endured all kinds of stuff. It's better to think about becoming mighty in war, isn't it? You know, I want to be mighty in war. Ah, but the life of faith also means sometimes we lose our homes or we are killed and murdered for our faith. It still bothers me to think of a lot of the places in Africa where more people have died in one night of persecutions than, you know, we've lost in a whole war in Afghanistan just because of their faith. But those are the flowers that God holds out there and says, look at these. Look at these, my champions of faith. Look at these people who demonstrated. What is faith again? What did they demonstrate? That I can be tough, that I can endure, that I can handle it. No, what they demonstrated was verse 1. Now, faith is the assurance of things not seen, the confidence of things not yet considered. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing that God has revealed Himself in this. The basic foundation is that God created the world and everything in it is His. There's nothing outside the realm of God's control. And that by faith, we can trust Him because He told us to trust Him. By faith, we can put our confidence in that, not knowing whether the tornado will rip the house off of its foundations. By faith, we can be confident, not in, as Rick said, the weathermen, but in the God who makes the weather. And those things are not always easy, but that is the flower. If you think of what Jesus said, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That is Hebrews 11. That is Hebrews 11 is allowing us to look and see people's good works so that we might glorify God. Not so that we would build shrines for Noah and Abraham and worship them, but so that by their faith we can get a glimpse of what it is to trust God and believe that He wants to do with us. Those are the things He wants to do. He wants us in Hebrews 11. And I asked myself the question, my, oh, my, oh, my. Because I don't always have that kind of confidence in God. In doing my study on this, I found several other passages which will take us into the fruit of faith. What is it to have fruit or faith that bears fruit or fruity faith or however you want to say it? What is it to have faith that somebody can get a hold of and say, boy, that is the way I want to live life? Because that's when you read Hebrews 11, that's what I come away with. Man, I would like to live like that. I would like to be that kind of a person. Hebrews 10, backing up a little bit. Hebrews 10, 35 to 39. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. It's interesting that the author starts this conversation, draw near in Hebrews 10:22, and then it says, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What confidence? The confidence that God is who He says He is. It's why it is so important for us to get to know God, for us to get to know Him and His ways and His promises, so that I don't flounder when things get tough. It's critically important. Don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. You, each of you, we all, individually and corporate, need endurance. We need endurance. For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, that is the key to living by faith, doing the will of God. And oftentimes we spend sleepless nights worrying about, well, what is the will of God? Well, the will of God is for us to walk through life and to demonstrate Christ and grace in the midst of every situation. And God will show us the rest of it. When you have done the will of God, that you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one, if you have faith, if you have trusted Christ, if you have believed, you are one of God's righteous ones. And God wants His righteous ones to walk by faith. 10:38, but my righteous ones shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, God speaking here, my soul is not pleased in him if he shrinks back. But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Then we'll jump ahead a little bit to Hebrews 11:6, one of the key passages in this. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near, remember Hebrews 10:22, draw, let us draw near. Whoever would draw near, it says here, to draw near to God, must believe that He exists and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I forgot to write these down, but Hebrews 11, verses 3, 4, and 5, something like that. Talks about being commended. For by it, by faith, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are invisible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And then the end of the chapter talks about commendation again, that these people received their commendation, and that we are called to do that, or to be that kind of thing. I think I have a dead battery, don't I? Probably. The technicians are coming.
Left that on. Okay. Forgot where it was. I was talking about it, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. God says to draw near, and whoever draws near must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. And then this is one of the passages that really kind of got me. Because at the beginning of Hebrews, it said that we are to look at those who have gone before and lived out their faith and imitate them, right? So you all should go home and read Hebrews 11 and say to yourself, what can I do differently in my life that will more easily or better allow me to imitate these people's lives? But then there's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. It says, remember your leaders. Okay, elders, deacons, ministry leaders. It's telling the people that he is writing to remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. You are told to imitate your leaders. Imitate the faith that you see in those leaders. Mark, Grady, Rick, Warren, me, Jim, Jack, just to name a few. You are supposed to be able to look at us, consider the outcome of our lives, and imitate our faith. Wow. James 1:3 says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." This last week, to close, I get a blog. It's not daily, weekly blog kind of a thing from a guy called Paul Tripp. You may know him. He and his brother wrote Shepherding a Child's Heart, or, you know, different things like this. And he's a guy that I think is a very good thinker as far as Christian life is concerned. If you want to look it up, it's paultripp.com, and you can find the blog there. But he tells a story about a guy and how this guy was despondent and in despair, and was caught up with life and the problems that he found himself in. And he makes an observation that this person and a lot of other people are lost in the middle of their faith. That's the title of the blog, Lost in the Middle of His Faith. And he told how that this guy had a clear understanding of his conversion, of his being born again, of his birth in Christ, the new life that he had. He had a clear conviction of that. And he had a clear conviction of the assurance he would have when he goes to heaven. But he was lost because he didn't know how to apply faith to life. Good question. How do you apply faith to life? What does believing God mean to me as I go through every day of my life? How should me living by faith open up my life in such a way that I would be a flower for other people to look at? He says four things, and I won't read the whole thing. You can look it up if you're interested. PaulTripp.com. Grace will decimate what you think of you. In other words, Paul, this guy, his name was Jason, was so caught up with how other people thought of him. It just bothered him that he was perceived himself as being perceived by others as a failure. And it just crippled him. So grace will decimate what you think of you while it gives you security of identity you've never had. Because in Christ, we are to have an identity different from what we normally think of ourselves. We are supposed to think of ourselves as people of faith, people who follow after God. Number two, grace will expose your deepest sins of heart while it covers every failure with the blood of Jesus. To know that all of my failures, although real and often have consequences, are covered by the blood of Christ. Number three, grace will make you face how weak you are while it blesses you with power beyond your ability to calculate. Let me say that again. Grace will make you face, really take to heart, how weak you are while it blesses you with power beyond your ability to calculate. Number four, Grace will take control out of your hands. In other words, you give up control. While it blesses you with the care of one whose plan is unshakable and perfect in every way. I thought I'd just read his words because I certainly couldn't say it any better. And it has just, ever since I did read it, I've been thinking about it and how it applies to this. Go home, look it up. I will post those 4 points on the church website or the prayer link, whatever, if you want to find it there. But what we want to take home today is that all of us are plants, and we all are in process of growing in our faith. Hopefully, we all have roots. Hopefully, everyone here has trusted Christ as their personal Savior. We all have the roots, the foundation. But we're called to be a flower that others can see and say, that is a person who lives what they believe. And thirdly, to be able to let our light shine so that others might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. It's not so that we would look pretty. It's not so that people would wow and bow and everything else over us. It's so that we can be instruments of pointing people to our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for faith that you've given to us so that we don't have to depend on our good works. So that we are not embarrassed with our good works. And yet, Father, you give us good works to do so that we might walk in them and glorify you through them. Father, we would ask that you would allow us to be people of faith who walk daily in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.